Welcome to Guitar Serious Fun, a podcast dedicated to enhancing your guitar journey as you offer your gifts to the Lord. I'm David Harsh, and today I'm here with Erin Pekinas, who is back to bless us once again. She was my guest interviewee in our podcast entitled Embracing Good Difficult. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, I invite you to go back and give it a spin. Erin is a teacher at our school and a fellow worshiper at our church. She and her husband are members of Guitar Success for You, and they own a farm and they have 5 kids. Welcome back, Erin.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So here at Guitar Serious Fun, I try to create what I'd call evergreen content so it can be enjoyed year-round by lots of listeners. But sometimes I need to embrace a season and what the Lord is teaching me. So in this season, I'm just now stepping forward to offer my musical gifts at our church, even though our family has been members of this church for a year and a half. Now, some folks might say, that's too long. You need to get plugged in and serving. But what they might not know is that I've actually come from over a decade of professional worship leading ministry, the last few years of which were challenging due to the decline and dissolving of a church plant. I had said going into that worship ministry role there that I'm not going to step away from this church. The Lord is going to have to take this responsibility away from me or bring someone who will step forward to be the next director of worship. But I'm committed to this church body and to this responsibility. I remember the final service of that church plant and thinking to myself, I'm going to need to take some time to heal. Now, don't misunderstand me. I wasn't saying I need a break from church. I don't think that's ever okay. Even though I know fellow believers who have had challenges in ministry that they believe have warranted taking time off from going to church. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, do not give up the habit of meeting together as some have done. So actually, our church plant was meeting in the evenings for the better part of 6 months. And even as the church was winding down, in the mornings, we were already attending the new church of which we are now a part and getting connected. But perhaps the most refreshing aspect of coming to church in our new church family was that I didn't have to lead or to administrate the leading. I could just attend and be ministered to. Not a lot of worship musicians get to have an extended opportunity to just be led in worship. Now, Erin, I remember having a conversation with you when you said, isn't it good in this season to know that your gifts aren't needed? I remember thinking, yes. Do you recall that conversation?
I think so.
Now, there's a difference between your gifts aren't needed and your gifts aren't wanted. Mm-hmm. Perhaps because of leadership styles or musical styles, etc. That's probably a different conversation. What I want to hone in on today is this idea that although my gifts could be offered, they weren't needed at the time. Now, I've seen many church models, especially the church plant model, where people walk in and they express interest in being a part of the church family, and basically they are recruited almost from day one.
Yep.
I don't want to make this too reduced to simplicity here, but it's almost like they're saying, you're a warm body. You can fill role X or role Y, and perhaps that means they get placed in an area of their gifting, or maybe they're just placed where their gifts are most needed at present. And although it might be a simple task to be a greeter, that role does carry some weight because it's everyone's first impression as they walk in. You don't want a shy or grumpy greeter. All the roles in the church are valid and important, of course, and sometimes we need to be all hands on deck to cover the bases. The music roles help facilitate an environment where the congregation is invited to sing as one form of worship. Not everyone is called to the musical role. Some have the heart to lead, but not the skill. And some have the skill, but they lack the heart. But what about someone who is skilled and has heart? Do they need to be up there serving right away? I don't think so. Not necessarily. Now, my contribution at our home church on the worship team will be volunteer. It's coming up in just a couple of days. I don't know if that carries any significance or not. I've seen the mindset of volunteer handled as, I'll just phone it in. We're volunteers. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen, hey, we're being called to serve the Lord of creation. Let's bring it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to bring the same level of standard and commitment as I lead as a volunteer that I did when I was a paid staff member because it's worthy work. When our gifts aren't needed, we can feel tempted to think, hey, maybe this isn't about me. But the reality is, it isn't about me.
It's, right,
it's about when the Lord wants us to be at work or letting our farmland lie fallow for future crops or whatever the season would have. Aaron, I'd love to hear your thoughts on these thoughts I've just brought to you about when your gifts aren't needed in this season. Can you just kind of take us into what you're thinking about that?
Sure. And I think when we were having that conversation, I think I was telling you about when we first came to the school, and we had been in a lot of different church and ministry environments where it was more kind of a desperate grab from those running programs and, you know, doing things, that it felt a little bit more like the warm body scenario. Like if you had any kind of a gift, the assumption, the expectation is that you would give that gift, that would be your service, you know, to whatever body or ministry you were involved with. And when we came to the school, I remember having a conversation with our headmaster and, you know, getting kind of having a philosophical conversation about all of it as we were moving from homeschooling into going to a day school, and telling him where I had come from. I had been a teacher, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the kids went to school, and this is my first year not teaching or homeschooling since we had been married, and feeling like, I mean, I remember dropping my children off at school the first day and going home. And the Lord did give me bursitis in my elbow that was excruciating that day. I had to go to the doctor, and I'm convinced that he did that so that I would live through that day without being self-obsessed. Because I remember at that point feeling like, but what do I do? And kind of, I mean, the transition to school was pretty fast. So it wasn't like somebody would be like, well, can you teach? But it also, nobody asked, can you teach? It didn't seem like they needed me to be teaching. And so I ended up, you know, helping in a couple of different places, but I never got the feeling that people were desperately chasing after me for being part of the school.
And was like, that okay?
Well, no, not totally.
Not at the moment.
It was kind of like, I mean, I'm sort of glad because I have other stuff I could be doing. And also, guys, don't you know I used to be a teacher? Don't you know that this is my thing? I do this.
Don't you realize who I am?
Right. And so, like, which also, how gross is that, right?
Where you're like, selfish,
guys, don't you know that I have skills here that you could be using? And so it was a good year of wrestling through not having, I mean, everybody was happy for me to come do whatever I was helping with at school. And nobody was like, also, we're dying here. Help us, help us, help us. It just didn't have that vibe. And it concretely had a lot of communication about how we are confident that the Lord is growing this at whatever pace he's growing this. We are 100% trusting him to do what is right to bring families or teachers or whatever, and being like, well, this is a very strange scenario to just have everybody be super confident that the Lord is the boss of everything. And I was like, well, this feels different. It feels like a different scenario. And it was good for me because I ended up wrestling through having skills that were useful. I mean, and I work there now. So, I mean, it turns out this is kind of my jam and I do like it. And also I teach there now. It didn't feel like I was needed that year. And that was good for my soul to remind myself that the Lord actually could build an entire school without me involved at all. And he's strong enough to do that. That was helpful for me.
Just kind of verbally processing this, which I'm not a verbal processor. I'm much
let's
more
go.
Of an
interpreter.
Yeah. So
I mean, we're hauling off here.
We are hauling off.
That's what I do.
Okay. You just said something that you need a tiny rabbit trail on, because if they haven't listened to the previous episode where I hosted you, mm-hmm. could you just tell us what hauling off means to you and why it's significant in your life right now?
Sure. Hauling off is a lifestyle. It is the lifestyle of doing whatever is in front of you with whatever the Lord has given you. And if that doesn't feel like you are super prepared, that's okay. He'll cover it. He will sort out the details on the back end of it. So I have a podcast with a friend and it is called Hauling Off. And what we don't have is any kind of plan. I mean, I have a list.
Like a working title of a topic. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, well, we have some direction sometimes. We have some people that we would like to have on the podcast. But also, it really is just it feels like if you were going to have a podcast, you should probably have a script, or you should probably plan it. You should probably think ahead about this thing. And this is, for my friend and I, the reality. We are not living that lifestyle at this point. Things are going fast enough that it is not a real, I will prepare ahead of time kind of life.
Yeah.
And so hauling off is just sort of the vibe of my life at this point. Is a lot of hauling off and just doing stuff and trusting that the Lord will use what he's going to use and hopefully cover over and make not a thing the things that need to drop out.
This is really good for me because even as I looked at my script just now, I've run out of questions. I am now into, this was a shorter one that I put together. I am now into hauling off territory.
Oh, I love it.
So
well,
I'm going to be,
let me help you.
I'm going to be sparring. Thank you. Please. Perfect. But you are helping me so much, Aaron. This is such good medicine for me and for the way I look at life and music and guitar and sure. my journey of faith. This is important stuff. When I put these episodes together, they are carefully crafted and scripted and this is not, but it's still going to be very deliberate. I'm going to spar with you just a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're parents. We have kids, and our kids teach us stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not stuff we necessarily want to learn in the moment, but the Lord right. can totally use it. We have a young daughter, not so young anymore, but when she was very young, I was teaching her a lullaby that she would sing. And we would sing it, and eventually she got to the point where she could sing it. And at a certain point, she started to sing it, and I happened to get an audio of it, but I go back and listen to this on occasion, where she gets a certain way in, and so I just start to sing along with her for a line or two, but by the time we get to the third line, she just basically turns to me and says, I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, let you finish that.
Well, all right.
Then. Okay, then. But I think that gets me thinking, you know, our kids need us, obviously, but there's this inverse proportion from man. They are completely dependent on us to, you know, we're leading them by authority. To, this is not an original thought, this comes from the Growing Families sure. International, but we get to the point where we lead them by influence. Mm-hmm. We start by authority because I've been entrusted with being your parental unit. Don't touch that, it's hot. Not mm-hmm. because I don't feel like you should, it's because I told you not to.
Right.
All the way to they enter the teenage years and it's more, hey, you know, can we have a heart-to-heart? I feel like I really need to encourage you away from this. It's ultimately going to be your choice, mm-hmm. but I want to encourage you away from it. So when we're parents, there's something about wanting to feel needed as we disciple and raise our kids. But where does that start to taper off where we're like, you know, our kids aren't going to need us in this particular matter. We're going to let them struggle in this a little. And although I need to be needed, I'm going to let my kids kind of work out their salvation in this instance. Any thoughts
yeah.
on that?
Oh, yeah. That. Well, and I think it's the idea of needing to be needed, both in whatever ministry or life opportunities you're having and with your kids, that is... it's making you central in a way that you were not designed to be. And so what ends up happening is if your need to be needed eclipses the good that is in the circumstance, like the circumstance that is before you with your kids, man, how often are people squelching their kids growing up because they need them to need them. Like, I need to be your mom still. I need you to need me. So I will require of you the weirdest things as you have teenage kids.
It's dysfunctional.
Yeah. And it does become dysfunctional. And so, and we're having a lot of this right now. My oldest is about to turn 20. She's a senior in high school. I have then it trickles down a bunch of teenage people and then a fifth and a sixth grader. So I have a pretty big range of kids, but we are definitely feeling that, hey, you're all still under our household. So there still is an element of authority here. And also, I don't wield that authority the same way with my 20-year-old that I do with my 11-year-old. And so we had a funny interaction recently where I was not requiring my oldest to do something that I was requiring my 11-year-old to do. And she asked me.
Which one asked you?
The youngest. The youngest asked me.
Yes.
She said, Mom, do I have to do this? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And so we had that conversation about the fact that, you know, and when it all shook out, my oldest and I ended up having quite a conversation about, you know, I am not the boss of you. I don't command you to pick up your shoes like I command a 2-year-old to pick up their shoes because you're not a 2-year-old anymore. And also, you're still mine, and I'm still trying to grow you in ways that I see being helpful. And also, I'm not going to require your obedience in this. This is not an obedience thing. This is a wisdom thing. And let me help you see what I was shooting for there, you know, in asking you to do this. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of that right now where you're looking at your teenage kids trying to decide, is this something I need to step in on, or is this something I can let them, can I let the leash go a little? And I honestly think that starts even when they're toddlers. I think there is a lot of natural learning that happens with little people that, you know, that if we take advantage of, they're actually learning a lot of stuff without us telling them what the answer is.
Yes.
And yeah, that continues to be a thing.
So that's the parental role and the dynamic with kids, which is so essential. Let's talk just a little bit about the church ministry role.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked into the church setting, I didn't actually see a need because for our worship team, those people typically serve every Sunday or they rotate every other Sunday. And there's a deep enough bench that they seem to have enough coverage. And that was actually a blessing to me because I just thought I can just come and be ministered to.
Mm-hmm.
What about the person who has cultivated their gifts and they have this gentle bit of temptation to want to say, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I've brought gifts. You're mm-hmm. welcome. We can start. Where can I serve? Where are you going to, you know? And by the way,
what's
I'm coming.
What's your plan for me? Because
yeah.
I'm a lot.
And by the way, I have some plans of my own. And I have certain
right.
ways I like to do this. I've
yep.
had conversations with people like that who are like, yes, I'll serve, but under these conditions.
Right.
Versus, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to serve as a backup musician.
Mm-hmm.
And not just as a backup on the, you know, on the roster, mm-hmm. but like supporting on the platform, not leading the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I've seen this with one of our bass players.
Mm-hmm.
He is a phenomenal leader out there in circles,
mm-hmm.
serving on multiple boards, but he's also a very gracious follower.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the best leaders are followers.
Yep.
So what do you think about someone who walks in who has worked really hard to develop their craft and they walk in and no one notices?
Mm-hmm.
And they love Jesus and they want their gifts to be needed, but they're just... I didn't come in with the posture of needing to be needed,
mm-hmm.
but let's say this individual walks in and I've really practiced, I've studied, I've got a degree, I've got albums, I've toured, I know all this stuff. Doesn't anybody want to use me at this church? What do you think about that posture and that attitude, and how could that be gently addressed?
That is a good question.
Yeah, a lot of it's between them and the Lord.
Yeah, no, totally.
But and I mean, if you know this person, let's say, what would you say?
Yeah, I do think there is an element of, well, what are the extenuating circumstances? Like, is your ego coming in to make more work for someone, or is it actual service? You know, I mean, like, are you coming to serve or are you coming to be seen? Are you, you know, what is your posture in your service? And I think those are always good questions to ask. And I do appreciate. And there's some tension here, but I do appreciate a good leadership structure from the standpoint that if everybody can be clear and honest, you can come in and talk to whoever is leading whatever and say, this is what I have to give you. This is what I would love to do if you need me. These are the places where I feel like I have skills that if you would like to use them, then that would be great. And offer it up and then wait, be busy doing something else until somebody needs that particular skill. Because I do think that there is a way to say, I have a skill and this is the only thing I want to be used for. Like, I want this skill. I want to serve in this spot, rather than if that spot is not necessary at that point, look around. What else can you be doing? Keep looking, keep serving, because I think sometimes people get kind of nosed in on, this is the thing I do. And that's not really how God works. He's like, well, this is what I need you to do. And it's actually not this over here. It's that over there. Like, what we need is somebody to go visit people who are sick. I don't need somebody to play the guitar in the front. I, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Subtext of this could be when your gifts aren't needed or when you have other gifts that are needed more at this time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I think it's a beautiful thing to see someone who has a very strong gifting in one area serving in another area, you
yep.
know, with some gifts.
Sure.
I did have a conversation with someone And I'd love to just see how this hits you. It is a total man of God. I'd have great respect for him. He actually threw me a curveball and said, I actually think it's good when we serve in an area that is not at our gifting at all, because why would we need the Lord if we're serving in our deep water?
Sure.
And I thought, well, no, wait a minute, because I'm deeply, deeply blessed when I see someone serving in their area of giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, point of fact, I am very relational, and I'm also very, you know, musical. But if you put me in a position toward facilities repair, I would probably be like, okay, I have much to learn. But according to this argument, it's, well, absolutely you need to do that, because that's when you'll lean into the Lord.
Sure.
Do you have thoughts on that?
I have thoughts on that.
I struggle with that. I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, and we talked about this a little bit last time I was here. But if you have a bag of filters, the wise person knows which one to pull out when. And I think you always serve where you are the weakest, because then you have to lean into the Lord. Is bad. I mean, like,
it's not always sustainable,
is
right?
Not. Yeah. And always is not, that is not how God works. He doesn't work always necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, well, sometimes it is good to say, hey, I am not great at that. I see the need. I'll stretch. And that's a great time to say, for this, at this point, that seems like the right thing to do. I'll stretch into the thing that I'm really terrible at. And also, that's fine. Like, the Lord can use that. And there are times to say, I seem to be wired this way. Because I think this goes along with personality, too. So I think, you know, introvert, extrovert is the classic, like, I like people, so I will not speak, you know, I will not do anything by myself because I like people. And you're like, okay, also, God can change personalities. He does. That is not a fixed reality for you at all times. And also, he does wire people a certain way. You have a leaning, but work against your leaning. I mean, like, it's good to work against the way you're naturally prone. So I would say, you know, your gifts are the same thing. They're not permanently fixed in concrete,
right?
But they are things that he's given you to use. So steward the gift well, steward the leaning well, and also recognize that sometimes it is actually good for you to lean away from your nature to grow other directions. That actually makes broad people who are really sturdy in the Lord, who can do all the things.
I love that word, sturdy. And again, with the idea of facilities and maintenance, I've actually done some home repair stuff because it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people I've intersected with who have tremendous handyman giftedness, where they can look at, you know, a leaking pipe or something, and they know what to do, like I would know what to do to tune a guitar.
Yep.
And it would be not effortless, but pretty much right there in my wheelhouse. I have one episode of Guitar Serious Fun that talks about the voice of experience and just being like, yeah, I know exactly what to do here. If I were to take someone who's, you know, deep water was facilities and maintenance and they had no knowledge of music, and I put a guitar in their hand and said, hey, you're leading next Sunday, they might look at me like a deer in headlights and go, well, I think I need more time to develop this skill, probably, which is a legitimate perspective as well.
Yep.
So I love that we all have different gifts. Some of us have gifts that have a broader base that can work more interpersonally with more people. But I love the idea of the different filters that we can put on. This is really good perspective. What would you say to a guitar player who wants to serve? Really wants to serve, but perhaps has not developed their skills yet to be commensurate with the standard, but they have been wired musically. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not the kind of thing where the worship leader would say, yeah, you need another area of ministry. Not that, but more of those, hey, I see what you're doing. Let's audition in a year. Please don't be discouraged. I see great potential. Work on these things. What would you say to a guitar player who wants to serve, but is not yet up to the standard that the church would host? What would you say to them?
Yeah, find places that you can be using that elsewhere. So if that is something that, you know, if you were a guitar player who wanted to be playing on a Sunday morning, are there other things you could be doing? Is there, you know, can you bring your guitar and sing for the 4th of July barbecue? Can you have, you know, can you go to campfires? Is there a way to get that in some other context that's not formally Sunday morning?
Children's ministry, maybe?
Yeah.
For some of the kids?
Yeah, totally. Like, working that direction, how can you get... And I think for leadership, you know, that I do appreciate that's about our leadership significantly at our church. There is a lot of gracious opportunities given to people who are not fully matured. You know what I mean? Like, there are a lot of places where, you know, for leadership, you're finding places, especially if it's somebody you can see is moving the right direction. They just don't have a ton of practice or time in on the job, but you can see their trajectory. You know, as leaders, you're trying to get them involved in some capacity. And then as a person, you keep trying to figure out where else can you be pushing this into the cracks of your life so that you're developing the skill and developing the breadth of experience.
And if the character is there, the skill will come.
Yep.
And I like this idea. Again, we talked about this last time. We're moving forward in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And someone who's showing tremendous promise with skill but isn't there yet is going to be given that level of care because they have the character and they're teachable and they're humble. And they're not mm-hmm. coming in with a list of, well, I have to lead out front or I'm not going to do
right.
it. They're
yep.
just saying, hey, I want to be used.
Yep.
Allow me to be used for the Lord. Just this idea of having open hands, not needing to be needed, but saying, I have these gifts. This is something I'm very good at, and I'm willing to humbly offer it. I'm not saying I'm good at it because I'm all that. I'm just saying I've worked hard to be very good at this. This is an area in which I can serve,
right.
And I have open hands about when and how, but this is where I feel called to serve. Would this line up with the season of need in the church? And if the
sure.
answer is no, keep coming to church.
Keep, right.
you know, get plugged in another way.
I've seen people
do an about face and say, well, if I'm not needed, then I'm just not going to be here, which is true colors.
Right. And that actually, I think when your gifts are not needed at that point or your service is not needed at that point, I think that is actually a good place to see, you know, is this person being fussy about it? Because if they are, that actually tells me that I'm not sure I want that. If that's underneath your skills,
well said.
I actually don't know that's going to be, that makes your skills less exciting if it's got a fussy character underneath. So some of that, if you're not needed, what are you doing with your time? Because my other thought was, you know, I've seen I want to do this. We don't need that right now. And then nothing. You know, I mean, so it's kind of a be a self-starter, like get going some direction. Because if you're moving, that's easy to say, oh, move over here. Like now we've got a spot. Now we've got some work that, you know, but like if you've got someone who said, I want to do this, this is what I want to do. And it's the only thing I want to do. And then just stops. It's like the momentum is gone. The momentum is
not. You can't steer a parked car.
Exactly.
Right?
Ooh, I think that's my kid. Is
oh.
that my kid?
Could it be?
Are they done? They are done. Look
okay.
at that.
Well, I think
this is hauling off. Are you ready for this?
Yes, this is
Hi,
an inter-
you can go get in the car. I'll be there in a sec.
Okay.
This is what the interruptions sound like on my podcast.
I love it. And I've listened to multiple episodes of Hauling Off and been so blessed. So definitely want to plug that. Speaking of hauling off, as we kind of bring this in for a landing, there's something that you like to do on your podcast
yes.
that you call the lightning round.
I do.
What so do you want to grab your
I
phone?
Grab
I think you,
phone.
You might have the question. So
Can we haul off and ask you and Whitney? Whitney?
Do you want to be a part of it? You'll need to lean forward a little bit.
I can't remember. Did you say hi on this podcast?
So I am not a random person. I am a very structured person. And typically on my podcast, my posture is to ask the questions. But in the spirit of a little spontaneity, I'm going to ask Aaron to spring some lightning round questions on me and Whitney.
And your lovely wife.
Yes. And as I've experienced hauling off, it's a quick answer, right?
Oh,
yeah. It's a very quick lightning round and points for every answer, probably.
Right. Okay, and speaking of leaning away from your natural tendencies, I am not digitally inclined in any way, shape, or form, but this year at school, I have accomplished some digital success, one of which is having my lightning round questions on my phone in a file.
I'm so glad they're here, because here we go.
Lake or beach? I mean, by lake or ocean water beach. I mean, because I guess a lake does have a beach. It's just a lake beach.
I'm going to say ocean beach because the majesty of the ocean.
Okay.
Lake.
Okay. Two-story or rambler?
I like a rambler. I want to grow old in a rambler.
Rambler.
Same. Christmas or Thanksgiving?
Ooh, Thanksgiving. Christmas is a little harried for me, and I love to pause and be thankful.
Christmas!
Woo! I like you people. Okay. Bagels or donuts?
Donuts all the way.
Oh, they're both so good. Bagels.
I feel like this is one of my... There are some people in the world that say donuts really fast. Those are my people.
Okay.
People have to stop and think about whether less sugar is okay. It's... I don't know. It's different. Okay. Bird or fish? If you could be a bird or a fish, which would you choose?
Fish, because the underwater landscape is beautiful. We've got another little visitor here.
Oh, hi. Hey, go get in the van and I'll be there in a sec. Okay. That was a fast response for that kid.
I love it.
Bird, not a water person.
Okay. Let's see. Chandelier or can lights?
Can lights.
Can lights.
Okay. I feel like this is another one that separates people into categories that make me feel like, okay, yeah, I'm also a can light kind of girl.
Okay.
Cinnamon rolls or hash browns?
Hash browns.
Cinnamon roll.
Okay. This takes back your bagel. It makes me feel like we might be the same kind of people. Overalls or jeans?
Jeans. I've never worn overalls.
Good point. Men, this is a weirder question.
Well, you're from a farm, so you might.
True story. Dean wears
when I was a kid, I had Oshkoshes, but no.
Right.
I think jeans, but I lived like a year of my high school in overalls.
Right, because it was like... the 90s. Everybody,
there we go.
Everybody had overalls on. Mountain cabin or beach house?
As much as I love that beach, a mountain cabin is a cozy, rustic place.
True enough.
Mountain cabin.
Okay. Drive or fly?
Drive.
Drive.
I'll take off any day of the week. I do not like to land.
Okay. I agree with that. It is a little more harrowing. Amusement park or museum?
Amusement park.
Museum.
I'm learning a lot about you, babe.
Disney or Pixar?
Disney.
Disney.
Chewy, fruity candy, or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Okay. I like that it took you a second, though. Okay, board games or movie?
Movie.
Probably movie.
Board games or card games?
Card games.
Yeah, probably card games.
Okay. I just made that one up.
Okay, good. you're hauling off, Aaron.
Exactly. Mary Poppins or Nanny McPhee?
I haven't seen Emma Thompson and Nanny McPhee, so I'm just going to say Mary Poppins because she's practically perfect
you
in every
either?
Way.
I haven't.
Guys, okay. You have to see Nanny McPhee, and then you have to tell me what your answer is.
We'll check it out. Okay, but for now, I'm going to say Mary Poppins.
Okay. I mean, it seems sensible. I like that. Gold or silver?
Gold.
Silver.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather? Ooh. Okay, and then I have three more. This one, and then three more.
Okay.
And then we can be done. Would you rather write a speech that addresses millions or a book that becomes a classic?
I like legacy. Classic.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, these are my three favorite questions from the birthday questions that we ask at school.
Okay, bring it.
Would you rather have a head the size of a watermelon or an apple?
I've heard that one.
It's my favorite. These three have landed so hard in my soul that I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, no.
Because
I'm
the best.
I think
imagining this life.
I think an apple, and here's why. I could build a paper mache head around the apple that was more average size. But with watermelon, everybody would be like, look at that guy with a huge head. Look at the size of that kid's head. It's like an orange on a toothpick. It's like Sputnik. It's got its own weather system. Go cry yourself to sleep on your huge pillow.
I think I'd go watermelon.
Really?
Because a little apple head is scary.
And a watermelon head isn't?
I don't know. I just shrunk it already.
Oh, so. Goodness.
Okay, all right.
All right, here's the second great question.
Okay.
Which I think is a total no-brainer. I am shocked at how many people picked the wrong answer. Would you rather lose your hair or your teeth?
I'd rather lose my hair because bald guys can still look very stylish.
Obviously. Whitney.
I'm just appalled.
That's why would you rather is hard.
It totally is.
I'd rather lose
crying
my
laughing
teeth.
Here. You'd rather lose your teeth?
Whitney.
You just have your gums and still have your beautiful hair?
Teeth. Who are you?
Okay. All right. The
That's
final
the
question.
First. The
All
final
right.
question, which I also think has an obvious answer. Would you rather have three arms or three legs?
I'm a guitar player. I want three arms.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Three arms.
Oh. Is this because who can imagine walking with three legs? I feel like it's too much. I can't.
It's too much.
What is the purpose? You can right? do so much more if you have three
arms. Three arms. You're like, I've got
You can
things
make
to
dinner
do,
and practice the guitar.
Totally.
Oh, goodness. Oh, well, I have to tell you, on that note, this has been nothing short of serious fun.
Amen.
We've talked some good kingdom concepts. We really hit on some important stuff that's going to be very seasonally appropriate and you know, perennial appropriate for me as I lead worship. I'm excited for this coming Sunday to lead God's people. Wow. This has been great. Any other closing thoughts on when your gifts aren't needed?
No, but all I can think of is you leading worship with an apple head.
With an apple head and three arms.
An apple head and paper mache covering.
Yep, I have you to thank for that.
Jesus blesses me deeply.
Oh, it's landed rather hard in my soul, as you've just said.
Right?
Oh my goodness gracious. Cue the music to close us out.
Amen.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks for that.
Thank you, Aaron, for bringing so much joy, not just to this episode, but to our lives. We're so grateful for you and your family,
and
this has just been really sweet. And thanks, Whitney, for making a special appearance in the lightning round. I appreciate it. Well, listen, as you know, I'm going to try not to laugh here. As you know, you can learn more about what we have going on at Guitar Success for You. The website is guitarsuccessforyou.com. That's Guitar Success, the number 4, and the letter U.com. Would you rather stay the same level of guitar player and wait a year to see what happens, or would you rather join us and accelerate and expand your musical skills and knowledge so that a year from now you can say, I have really grown in my musical ability, and to God be the glory? I invite you to think about that. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time.